Angel Radio, serving the Archdiocese of Mobile, Alabama, it's the Live Hour.
Father Robert Barron.
I said, you need to help me. I said, I'm out there making these, but you are the people trained in science and you're deacons, so get out there and do something.
Dr. Scott Hahn.
It is so good to be with such a low-key radio program with people who are just so dull.
Kelly Walquist.
You guys are delightful. You are the joy of the new evangelization.
Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde.
My pleasure, and thank you all for all that you all are doing. Y'all are great.
And here is your host, Todd Sylvester.
All right. We can always change
that. You should
have
let me know. You freaked me out.
Why did I freak you out?
Because I didn't know where that was coming from.
Yeah, you didn't know where it was going, and that's okay.
Okay.
You know, throw a little curveball here at you.
Let me know.
It's Catholic Radio.
Let me know.
Just because you're station manager and you produce the show? Is that why you have to know?
Father Matej isn't even on yet.
He's not even on. Don't introduce the guest before I even introduce the guest. I haven't even introduced the show.
It's on the spot.
I'll be quiet. Go ahead. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome to the Live Hour here on Archangel Radio, WNGL 1410 AM. I'm Todd Sylvester. Patrick's at the command center.
Good morning, Todd.
You can't upset the rhythm.
The show really isn't that violent, listeners. It really isn't.
Station manager David Renshaw is here with us. And because you've already introduced the guest, we might as well just introduce him.
I didn't introduce. I just said he was in the studio.
Yeah, but you gave his name away.
It's on the spots that you record and play all week
That's
long.
That's true. That's also true. We have with us in studio, Father Mateusz Rodzik.
Hello.
Oh. Who was born and raised in Poland.
Turn that up.
Turn that up.
This is good wake-up music.
Is this what you wake up to in Poland?
Yeah, this was his alarm clock music every morning.
It's close, yes.
5:30. The polka would kick in.
I hope the Archbishop doesn't get jealous that we've got this awesome music.
He won't allow us to have a theme song for him for Archbishop Rohde. He has put the canon smackdown.
Father Mateusz Rodzik, who is the parochial vicar at St. Dominic. Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, it's great having you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
My kids were so excited that you were coming on because they have, I think they're groupies to you.
Groupies.
Ever since ACYC, you gave your vocation talk and they went to it and they just said that it was so wonderful, funny. You were very transparent. They connected with you. And at one point in time, the Archbishop, I guess, got up and was standing next to you as like a father figure saying, okay, don't tell the kids that, you know, you want to do kamikaze skydiving and things like that, which wouldn't that be awesome? Do you know what that is? Because I know you've skydived before, recently. But do you know what kamikaze skydiving is?
No.
See, my wife won't
don't
let
tell
me
him.
Do this.
Don't tell
no,
him.
No, I'm going to tell him. Oh, I'm going to tell him. It's not even allowed in the United States. You have to go to like Japan.
Mm-hmm. Or Poland.
And maybe in Poland, I don't know. But when you're up in the air, you throw the parachute out the door.
Oh, man.
Then you count to two, one Mississippi, two Mississippi. Then you jump out after it, and you are not wearing a parachute when you jump out of the plane. And then you have to kind of coast and find it, grab it, put it on, buckle up, and then you pull.
Sounds like a very exciting jump.
Come on! Wouldn't that be awesome?
If I will grab my pack on the way down.
Yeah, that would be exciting. If not,
and the majority of people do.
A majority of the people. Is that covered by Archdiocese and insurance?
No.
Kamikaze skydiving. Well, I'm excited because I have not heard Father Mateusz's vocation story, so we will do that this morning.
And there is now even a great strong connection with the seminary up in
Michigan.
In Michigan. So we'll hear all about that because we just had Deacon
Marcin,
who was ordained last Saturday.
That's right.
So
we're being infiltrated. It's awesome.
And the accent is so wonderful because I close my eyes and I see John Paul the Great. I do. I'm serious. And then when I open my eyes, kinda, except for the beard.
So many similarities, right?
A little taller.
We had the blessing of Father Zach Greenwell came to our house last night.
Oh, awesome.
Because he was over here on the Eastern Shore for the And With Your Spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And he was supporting Jeremy, the seminarian who was speaking at it. Mm-hmm. He's our summer seminarian here at St. Lawrence. And then they all kind of came over to the house last night. It was unexpected blessing. So right before I went to bed, I asked for his blessing. And I was just like, man.
That's like, a three-day-old priest?
It was great.
He was saying that there might be some like special blessing from a priest in his first year. I don't know if that exists or not, but
well, I hope special, so. Maybe I got it last night.
No, special indulgence. That's what I. What's it? That's
I think I got it last night.
Yeah, whatever that okay. is.
That sounded
feel
good.
You feel refreshed today?
I feel great going to bed. I was lying there going, oh man, that was nice. It was really.
I didn't get
really
a blessing great. Last night from a 4-day-old priest, but I did eat at the Oyster House,
which is pretty close.
Yeah, it was good. It was.
Did you have the fire grilled oysters?
No, I did not actually have the fire grilled oysters, but I.
Yeah,
but it
so
was
good.
It was. It yes. was. It was great as always. Such good people there, by the way. I'm just saying, such nice people.
They are. It's like
it's so funny because I mean, it's been 2 years since we did the Captain America dinner, right? Mm-hmm. For the pledge drive, and I still get, "Hey, Captain, how's it going?" as I walk in the place. I mean, it's been 2 years, but a lot of the wait staff still remember us being there, and
you're not even wearing the uniform.
I know.
I mean, they just recognize
and the picture is not on the wall. Just saying.
Did we send them a picture?
I was supposed to be on the wall if they have the wall of fame.
Did we send them a picture?
They took them. They took the picture. There to put on the Wall of Fame. Wall of Fame picture not existing.
We know people. We can get
I'm
it
just saying, that needs to be on there.
That'd be really nice.
All right. Let's get to it.
Father, would you lead us in prayer?
Okay. In name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day that we can be here together and praise you in our lives. We ask you to guide us in this life hour that what we say may bring others closer to you. We ask this through Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. We thank our live hour sponsor, Coles Murphy Glover & Associates. Coles Murphy Glover & Associates is a full-service engineering firm offering services for industrial and commercial clients, from churches, schools, and shopping centers to shipyards,
material handling facilities,
complete plant design and layout. The engineers at CMG&A are ready to make your next engineering project a success. Coles Murphy Glover & Associates can be reached at 251-433-1611 or through their website at cmg-a.com. It's nice having them back.
It is, always.
Yeah, I love the material handling facilities. Okay, Father Mateusz, for the sake of our listeners who didn't have the blessing of going to your ordination, that was how long ago now?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. And you are born and raised in Poland.
Yes.
All right, so tell us about your background, and then I'd love your vocation story, because I originally remember hearing you say that priesthood was really not on the radar for you.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, I grew up in Poland in a small village, 200 families.
200 families?
Yes.
So you knew everybody?
And most of them are my family. So it's very
interesting. Is it the town of Rudzik?
The village of Rudzik.
Yeah.
You are good. I remember that when I was in high school, even 8th, 7th grade, I quit praying. Like I thought, I don't need to read God. I don't have time for him. I was going to mass every Sunday because we were going with my parents to get my brother, so it was like family Sunday trip. It was something good, but beside that, I didn't really had like connection with God to desire him. And after a few years in high school, I saw that there is kind of the emptiness, something is missing in my life, that even if I have friends, good hobbies, and dreams for the future, there's like kind of the emptiness, something is missing. Mm-hmm. So then there came those thoughts that maybe I should start pray again, and I started and began to ask God, help me find happiness. And I was praying every night, whole rosary, asking God, help me to find happiness in my life.
And this was when you were in high school?
In high school, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just real quick, what were your aspirations at that time prior to thinking of the priesthood? What did you...
Wanted to be pilot of plane.
Okay.
Yeah, and fly.
Yeah, you're flying.
Supersonic jets.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some thrill issues. He's got a need for speed.
Sadly, yes.
I don't think it's sad. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
So you started just praying the rosary. I mean, was that something that came from your childhood? You used to pray the rosary, and now you're like, hey, let me bring this back?
I grew up praying with my parents taught me, and my grandparents, so just like pray from my childhood. That mm-hmm. I remember praying rosary when I was younger. So I was simply praying every night those 5 decades, and after a few months, something strange happened. That when I was praying, I had the voice in my head asking, "Would you like to be a priest?" And I thought, I'm crazy. It's like, how I can hear something in my head or whatever is inside me? So I tried to avoid, and I thought, no, this is not what I want to be.
You're asking the wrong question.
Yes.
You should be asking, do you want to be a pilot? And then the answer is yes.
But God knows better which question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So after 1 week, I was simply tired of this question. It was so real. And I said, God, okay, I will try. It's like, at least I can try and go into the seminary and see.
About what year in high school were you?
It was third year.
So now is it the same in Poland?
No, it was 5 years of technical college, something to be different.
Okay.
So after 2 years, I graduated and went straight to the high school. And since that moment, I never had like doubts that when I agreed, it was stayed with me that I am meant to be a priest. This is my life.
Mm-hmm.
And now I see that. Yes, God was right. It's like I found happiness.
Amen.
I don't see, you know, how I could be more happy serving God and His people.
How did your family react when you told them that?
Well, they asked me. They saw that I'm praying more. And my parents asked me if something strange happens that, you know, they know that maybe I want to be a priest, but I maybe could think about something different.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a little bit shocked. So it was difficult for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think more difficult was when I told them that I want to go to USA.
Yeah, what inspired that?
I have family in Minnesota, and they was always asking me to come and be priest in USA.
Mm.
So I think the prayers were, I know, working in me. And one day, one of my friends told me that he's going to USA. And I was like hit by rock. It's like, come again.
As a seminarian? Or
yeah,
just, or
as a seminarian.
Okay.
It was on the fifth year in the seminary. A few months before the deacon ordinations.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for a whole week, I was going to the church and asking God, you know, what do you want? It's like, doesn't make any sense. I don't know English. I'm before ordinations. I don't want to leave my friends, my family. It's like, this is too crazy. And I only saw that God simply wants me to go to USA. So I went to my spiritual director and told him, like, Father, I think God wants me to go to USA. And he's supposed to say, well, let's wait with that. Let's pray about that. And, you know,
this is what he's supposed to say. The standard response from the spiritual director is.
And just as a reference, what year was this?
Fifth year of six.
Okay, so 2000. Just so we know how far back.
2009, 2008.
Okay.
Something like that.
In that neighborhood.
Okay.
I mean, the big question is, did they have kite surfing in Poland? Because that might have been the pull.
I didn't know that it really exists.
Aha! All right, so then your spiritual director said what?
Okay, go.
Can you imagine that? What? No, wait, we're supposed to have a long conversation here.
All right, aren't we supposed to pray more about this?
I'm supposed to twist your arm to make you say yes.
I was ready for that. Like, it's like, God wants me to go.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
So then, yeah, what did your parents say?
Oh, they were really sad. It's like, you can be a priest. It's okay. But go to USA? Man, don't do it. It's like, it's far away.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom came from ordinations 2 years ago with her sister and family. And I think it was great for her because she saw that I am happy here, that I found great people, that's my place. And it gave her happiness and peace that I'm in the right place in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that they are now, I would say, proud of me that I simply followed God. And
what was that time like of being away as you were here? You were here. What and the seminary you went to was in here in the U.S.
Cyril and Methodius Seminary in Orchard Lake, in Michigan.
Okay, so what was that time apart from your family like as you were going through seminary? Was it more difficult, you think, with having your family away, or were you able to kind of separate yourself and really focus on your studies?
I think that the first year was difficult, so I needed to learn language and simply being in a new place.
Mm.
But I see how God gives me a lot of graces to really, foster friendship with Him and focus on His presence in my life. And it fills my heart, my life. And I would say it is the pain of being far away.
And how much did it make it easier, considering that you're going to seminary with all these other Polish seminarians in that area.
It's easier because it helps. We can talk in Polish language and simply hang out together.
Yeah, let's talk about that seminary, because it just seems what a blessing that is for us here in the U.S., this Cyril and Methodius Seminary up in Michigan. It's outside, about 40 minutes outside of
Detroit.
Of Detroit.
It's an amazing place. It started in 1884 for the Polish people in Michigan, to provide them with priests, and also they opened high school and college for lay people. Mm-hmm. So since then we have many priests from USA with Polish roots, and now mostly priests from seminarians from Poland. Mm-hmm. So it works that way that I go to Krakow. There is a seminary who prepares me to come to USA. Mm. So I get some language and paperwork and kind of the preparation for what happens here. And then when I come to Ocean Lake, I have like 1 year between classes to go to different places and simply discern where I want to be, where God wants me to be.
I remember when you came to visit, because I was over at St. Ignatius, and the Archbishop brought you in, he introduced you and this other...
Two others.
Yeah. And then I remember when you came back. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's the deal? Just out of curiosity, what made you choose the Archdiocese of Mobile?
I decided first to stay in Memphis, Tennessee, mm-hmm. because I have friends there. I didn't have peace in my heart with this decision. So I was talking to my spiritual director and told him that, you know, I think I would like to be in Memphis, but I don't have really peace. And I thought about Mobile, but there is so hot there, the weather is so bad, mm-hmm. it's like, man.
We got hurricanes, the whole thing.
I didn't know about that.
Whoops.
And the spiritual director said, yes.
Again. I like the spiritual director. I like this guy.
This
Go
was
ahead.
The other man. And he said, well, only old people really worry about weather. So don't worry about weather. And it's like, maybe I should consider Mobile. Mm. With no offense to the old people.
Don't worry about the weather.
I'm taken. Now, there were a bunch of deacons who were present for Deacon Martin's
ordination.
Now, are they all from Cyril and Methodius?
Yes, they are in Biloxi.
Okay.
We have two deacons and one priest already in the Diocese of Biloxi. And they will be ordained coming Saturday for priesthood.
Wow.
Oh, this coming Saturday?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
For the Diocese of Biloxi?
Yes.
So Biloxi's kind of, you know,
it's a hotbed.
They're passing us up a little bit.
Yeah,
what you're trying to
come
say.
On, guys. Let's get going. Archdiocese Mobile.
So in terms of you and Deacon Marcin are the first two here in the Archdiocese of Mobile from Poland.
Yes,
but not the last.
Oh no, are you kidding?
Well, what was it like having to? Obviously, you're studying theology. You're studying all your class, but you're also studying English. Mm-hmm. How did that combination work? Do you think it was a little bit more difficult? Because obviously, you're learning some classes that the general seminarian isn't studying. He doesn't have to study a second language, so to speak.
I would say it was very challenging to learn the theology in the English language. Mm. Like there are some similar words, but so many different words. And so it was challenging to learn new context of the theology of English language. And I was surprised when I read my first book. It was Matthew Kelly, for Discovering Catholic Faith. Uh-huh. I thought, wow, I can read in English. It's like
that must have felt great.
It was so good books. Like I enjoy really. And,
that's it.
Okay, so your mom came for your ordination, and then have you been home since you were ordained two years ago?
Yes, twice.
Okay, so you've been able to see the family, and what was their reaction, especially seeing you? Why, now that you're an ordained priest?
Because obviously a lot of your family who didn't come over, they saw you for the first time in a long time as father.
Yes, they were very happy. I find a lot of support from my family and great joy from their side that they have priests, and I see how the prayers assisted me all the way down here.
I was going to say probably a little more difficult maybe doing the Mass in Polish, considering you never did it here.
It is a little bit more difficult because I don't say it every day, so I need to pay attention to book to say the right words. And but I enjoy it. It's my native language, so I go a few times a year to Auburn and Birmingham to say masses for Polish people there.
Hmm. Wait, where?
Auburn.
Oh, Auburn.
Auburn.
There
is like 12 Polish families, so it's nice Polish community.
And Birmingham as well?
Yeah, they have around 30, 35 families.
Cool. Oh, that's fun.
So we then say the Mass and do some Polish, you know, food after Mass and fellowship, and it's great.
Have some pierogies.
Yes.
I was gonna say, what's it like without having Polish food around?
I enjoy a lot the southern kitchen and the seafood here. Mm-hmm. It's like it's really fills my needs.
Poland? What Poland? I don't know what you're referring to. Some good Gulf seafood, man, makes you forget your homeland.
Makes you forget your homeland.
Well, I have some pierogies in my refrigerator always.
Oh, gotcha.
Bad day.
That is great. We have with us in studio Father Mateusz Rudzik, who is the parochial vicar at St. Dominic's, sharing his vocation story. We're going to take our first break to reflect on the readings for Mass. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Father Mateusz, so stay with us.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday of the seventh week of Easter, June 4th. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. At Miletus, Paul spoke to the presbyters of the church of Ephesus. Keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you overseers, in which you tend the church of God that he acquired with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come among you, and they will not spare the flock. And from your own group, men will come forward perverting the truth to draw the disciples away after them. So be vigilant, and remember that for 3 years, night and day, I unceasingly admonished each of you with tears. And now I commend you to God and to that gracious word of his that can build you up and give you the inheritance among all who are consecrated. I have never wanted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You know well that these very hands have served my needs and my companions. In every way I have shown you that by hard work of that sort we must help the weak. And keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had finished speaking, he knelt down and prayed with them all. They were all weeping loudly as they threw their arms around Paul and kissed him, for they were deeply distressed that he had said that they would never see his face again. Then they escorted him to the ship. The word of the Lord.
Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth.
Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth.
Show forth, O God, your power, the power, O God, with which you took our part. For your temple in Jerusalem, let the kings bring you gifts.
Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth.
You kingdoms of the earth, sing to God, chant praise to the Lord, who rides on the heights of the ancient heavens. Behold, his voice resounds, the voice of power. Confess the power of God.
Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth.
Over Israel is his majesty, his power is in the skies. Awesome in his sanctuary is God, the God of Israel. He gives power and strength to his people.
Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, "Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me. And I guarded them, and none of them was lost except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world, so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world, any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth." The Gospel of the Lord.
This
this is what he woke up to every morning.
Yeah, it's, yeah. This was Thursday morning.
In his village of 200 people.
This was Thursday morning.
Welcome back to the Live Hour here on Archangel Radio, WNGL 1410 AM. I'm John Sylvester. Patrick's at the command center playing that music. That was beautiful. Yeah. Station manager David Renshaw is here with us.
Put the accordion away, Patrick. Would you stop it?
We have with us in studio Father Mateusz Rudzik, who is the parochial vicar at St. Dominic's, originally hailing from Poland, but now he's an archdiocese of Mobile native,
right,
kind of.
Via Michigan. And not Tennessee.
Memphis, whatever. Yeah.
You know, you were mentioning about how there's families in Birmingham and Auburn. Are there family, Polish families here in Mobile also that you know of?
There is one Polish family. They go to St. Ignatius.
I'd take that personally if I were you. They don't come all the way to St. Dominic for the
One
for the
of our ushers, he is a Polish guy too.
That's so awesome.
There are some Polish people around.
Hey, invite them down.
That's great stuff. All right, so you came over and you were at Cyril and Methodius,
mm-hmm.
and you said for 1 year, because when were you ordained a deacon? No, wait, I was there.
3 years ago.
Yeah, okay, I remember that. And then, I'm trying to remember how the order of how this all works. So
I was ordained deacon and then went back to the seminary for the last year.
Right, okay, but you'd already decided that you were coming here.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. And these last 2 years, you've been enjoying them?
Oh, yes.
Who's in your ordination class 2 years ago?
Victor Ingalls.
Okay.
Who went with me skydiving.
Well, just let the cat out of bag so we can talk about it.
I know.
Pat Arensberg. Okay. Steve Hellman. Matthew Venuti.
And that was all.
Father Travis?
That was all of them.
No,
Travis.
Father Travis
last before that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good class.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's good stuff. So you are known to have some slight thrill issues. So some of the activities, some of the hobbies that you have.
Hobbies.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Because I remember speaking at a retreat that you were the priest at. And during one of the breaks, you went to your car, you opened up the trunk, and you pulled out the coolest looking skateboard I've ever seen. Because it had like these feet. Things.
Oh, it was freeboard.
Oh, a freeboard. Okay, it was a freeboard. Because you're like, oh, this hill is too good. I must go down it. And I thought, if the Archbishop knew that you were flying down this hill, because at first I thought, oh, he's just gonna, you know, take the skateboard down. Okay. Next thing you know, he is crouched down. I mean, you are cruising. I was so jealous. And I knew that it was bad when my own daughter said, Dad, you're not allowed to do that. Mom wouldn't let you do that. You will break your arm. Father Mateusz is more experienced. He knows what he's doing. And then I was getting mad. I was like, are you kidding me?
So what are your hobbies? Other than knitting, of course, and...
Knitting.
And polka dancing.
And polka dancing.
I play guitar as a hobby.
Oh, cool. That's safe. I mean, I play guitar. I'm allowed to.
It's safe, yes. And mostly bicycle. I like riding bicycle a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do some boxing in my veranda. I have heavy punching bag. Mm-hmm. It's like good relax. It's simply...
Boxing is relaxing for you.
Yes.
So it's cathartic. It's cathartic. Kind of
to beat up the heavy bag, that's relaxing. Okay, that's good.
You take out the frustration.
Well, I don't have too many frustrations. Simply, you know, some kind of waking me up and feeling better. And yes, skateboard is. I started really riding on skateboard when I was in the seminary as a deacon.
Mm-hmm.
And my rector.
You started as a deacon.
Yes.
So this is not something that you brought from your childhood.
I did it once when I was in the first grade, mm-hmm. and I broke my nose. So it was end of the story.
Okay.
So it came back after many years to do it again.
All right.
And we have knife campus in the seminary, so I could ride around the hills and I enjoy it. Yeah, it's simply good fun.
All right, well, what about I've been hearing about the kite?
This is the latest adventure. We have on our parish, one of our parishioners' son, he's Dominican brother. So he came to me a few months ago and asked me if I would like to start doing something new. He said, I will give you the gears, I will rent it for you, simply try doing that. And so he sent me from California everything what I need and gave me a few lessons, and it's so awesome to do it. It's so challenging, and simply I focus on the kite, on the wind, on the board, and it's amazing.
So it's mentally stimulating. See, if my wife is listening, we need to talk about all the positives.
That's right.
It's mentally stimulating. It's good for your body.
A core workout, perhaps.
Brings together the soul, the spirit, the body, all of it together. It's like a triune experience.
I like how you're going with the soft sell, Todd.
It's quite safe, too.
Aha! It's quite safe!
Yeah.
According to Father Mateusz, who just jumped out of an airplane. It's quite safe.
So, and this was your first time skydiving?
Yes. Yes.
And
all right, tell us about that.
Yeah.
Who talked who into that? So it was you, Father Victor, who else?
I think Father Vrazel was meant to do it too. But
he was meant to do it.
Did he like?
He is meant to do it. Father Vrazel has those jumping stilt things.
Yeah.
He's good.
Have you ever seen him those things?
Oh, yeah.
I know it was simply our dream, mine, Victor, and Vraz to do it. And we tried three times before, and they canceled because of the weather and different difficulties. Mm-hmm. Or people were praying that it won't happen. So this time we didn't tell anyone that we are doing that, doing conspiracy. And amazing to be so high, 10,000 feet, and these beautiful views. And when you jump, the speed is so it's so fast.
Because you're traveling around how fast? Do you know?
Travel.
How fast are you falling?
120 miles.
120 miles an hour.
So it's pretty good speed.
Wow.
So you've done it once?
Once.
So you're going to probably do what, every month, every year?
I would like to do this whole the course that you can jump by yourself.
Mm-hmm. But so you did a tandem jump, right?
You have to first time. Yeah.
It requires some saving to do it, so maybe not now.
You need to keep talking because my wife just sent an email that said, dream on, heck no. So obviously you're not selling this well enough.
I figure
we need to talk more about the safety, about the spiritual elements. Since you were at 10,000 feet, you were much closer to God.
Very close, yes.
See, you were really close to God.
And you'll be even closer if your parachute doesn't open.
Hey, yo, you are not helping. You are not helping.
No, I would love to do skydiving too someday, but because I figure if my chute doesn't open, at least I had those moments of feeling like I'm a superhero. Yeah. You know.
And if we're going with a priest.
Yeah.
I mean, he can
On the way down.
Yeah.
Oh.
He can give us a blessing or something.
Yeah.
Well, probably not absolution, but he can give you a blessing.
He can give you absolution flying down.
Emergency. Like if your chute doesn't work. Yeah.
Just don't give a very long penance. Don't give a very long penance. I've only got 3,000 feet, Father.
You have to say the whole rosary.
Right, yeah.
Sorry.
I'm not going to make it. So we're talking during the break that you've been able to go back and actually take people to Poland for some pilgrimages. And you've got one coming up in July.
Yes. Yeah, talk to us about, like, where do you go?
Because when people think of Poland, do they think of a great place for a Catholic pilgrimage? Or is it kind of just recently, obviously, because of St. John Paul II?
Well, Dan Johnson, it was his dream because he went before to Poland and he always wanted to go with people and show them the beauty of Poland. Mm-hmm. So he asked me if I would like to help him doing that. So we go first we land in Krakow and go straight to Zakopane for 2-3 days.
And what's Zakopane?
It's like a mountain place, mm-hmm. town on the mountains where John Paul II was walking, hiking a lot, skiing, going kayaks. Mm-hmm. So we try to follow his footsteps and see how, you know, do the mass on the mountains, heal. And
do you skydive when you're there?
No.
Because that would bring you closer to God. I'm just saying.
This time in the program is bungee jump. They have the highest bungee jump in Poland, in Zakopane.
You're serious?
Yes.
Oh, it's going to be part of the program.
Well, see? And that's a priest doing it, and it's very safe.
It is very safe. Don't tell them to my mom.
Just work it. And David, you be quiet. Okay, go ahead.
So after Zakopane, we go to...
And after the bungee jump there.
It's for volunteers, of course.
Which was very safe.
It is very safe. We go to Auschwitz, the Nazi camp. To see those places where so much bad happened, and Maximilian Kolbe when he sacrificed his life for others, and this is a very powerful place.
Yeah, what is that like?
For me, it's very painful to be there, very sad to see how bad they can be to each other. That you can do so much evil and believe it's something good because you believe in the orders and that you simply follow the orders.
Right.
I'm glad that millions of people go there every year as a reminder that we cannot lose our freedom or follow only law with closed eyes. Mm-hmm. And after that, we go to the Divine Mercy Shrine next day to experience the place where Jesus revealed himself to Saint Faustina
Kowalska. Which is where?
It's close to Krakow in Wagiewniki. It's very close to Krakow. So they have now the big new shrine and the old shrine and all the convent with sisters there. Mm-hmm. So you can go for confession, pray Divine Mercy, chaplet there.
And is Saint Faustina, that's where she's...
Yes, she was there for her whole life. Mm-hmm. From there, we go to, well, I think the most important place spiritually in Poland is Częstochowa, Black Madonna Shrine.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have an image of that in my home with the two marks on her face. Can you talk about that?
I'm not very good in history. Mm-hmm. If I'm not wrong, it was done by the soldiers who mm-hmm. tried to destroy the image.
Right.
And the image survived, but mm-hmm. They tried to paint it, but the scarf stayed on the picture as a Blessed Mother wanted us to remind us that suffering is part of our life and mm-hmm. that she's suffering with us. Mm-hmm. So for me, celebrating Mass there last year as our first, being first time there as a priest, it was amazing. Like being there in this heart of Poland, I was almost crying, you know, celebrating the Mass. It was so amazing for me to be there with such great people and praying there. Mm-hmm.
Was it kind of a reaffirmation? Because you talked about how when you started praying in high school, you had that emptiness. And then God was clearly saying, I'd like you to be a priest. Mm-hmm. So is that voice, does God still speak to you in that manner? I mean, just even to reaffirm?
I would say yes, he speaks to me. I talk to God in prayer and he guides me a lot. And but yeah, this place I think is strongly connected to the discovering of my vocation.
Are the places that you go on pilgrimage, are these places that you were familiar with as you grew up as part of your homeland? Or are these places that now you're kind of either rediscovering or discovering for a first time now as a priest, taking people to these places?
Most of them I've been before as a pilgrim. Mm-hmm. Some of them like salt mine in Wieliczka. I've never been there before. It's like very old salt mine. You go very deep down under the ground. And they have hundreds of rooms, galleries, chapels there. So we celebrate the Mass under the ground.
You have to talk about that because I've seen videos of that are amazing. Is the salt miners themselves carved into, you know, the empty space after the salt was excavated, these chapels. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, the artisan work alone is so beautiful. Granted, some of it is being lost to people being down there and our breath alone because it's salt.
Right.
So, but share with our listeners about how, the beauty of that place.
It is beautiful, and it's amazed me how those simple people, hard workers there, they want to sacrifice their free time to build something for God, to express their faith, and they love to God, to Blessed Mother, by making shrines, chapels, and beautiful images. And
I mean, statues? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy beautiful.
What, maybe this might be a deeper question. Do you want to take a break before we get into the next
round? We can, if it's going to be a really deep question, because I don't know what you're asking.
I don't know. Let's do a break just in case.
All right. We have with us in studio Father Mateusz Rudzik, who is the parochial vicar at St. Dominic, sharing his vocation story and also talking about now these pilgrimages that they lead over to Poland. We're going to take our final break for the news. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Father Mateusz. So stay with us.
This is an Archangel Radio News Break. I'm Patrick Alog. The Spanish Bishops' Conference has called for prayers for King Juan Carlos and his successor after the king announced he would abdicate the throne in favor of his son, Prince Felipe. The conference's leadership committee recognized Juan Carlos's career, praising his generous dedication and his contribution to the recent history of Spain. The king said in a televised message on Monday that he began to consider his decision in January when he turned 76. Juan Carlos said, "A younger generation deserves to be at the forefront with new energies and a new way of confronting today's reality." He said Felipe has the maturity, preparation, and commitment necessary to be Spain's next head of state. The king called the prince the embodiment of stability. An extraordinary meeting of top officials was scheduled yesterday to set up a course of succession to the Spanish crown. Juan Carlos has been on the throne for nearly 40 years, having assumed power in 1975 in the death of Francisco Franco. The bishops acknowledged Juan Carlos's important contribution to Spain's transition to democracy following the nationalist era. The bishops also expressed their confidence in Felipe. In his daily homily yesterday, Pope Francis reflected on how Jesus advocates for us in heaven, emphasizing that he does this by showing the Father his wounds, the price he paid for our sin. Pope Francis said, "He shows his wounds to the Father, and Jesus, with his wounds, prays for us as if to say to the Father, 'But, Father, this is the price of these. Help them, protect them.'" Pope Francis explained in his daily Mass, "They are your children whom I have saved with these." Looking to the day's readings taken from the Acts of the Apostles from the Gospel of John, the pontiff observed how the people of Miletus were sad at the news of Paul's departure, as were the disciples when Jesus left them before going to Gethsemane and beginning his passion. Drawing attention to how in his prayer at Gethsemane, Jesus speaks to the Father and says, "I pray for them," the Bishop of Rome stressed the importance of these words and noted that Jesus also tells us, "You are all of the Father, and I pray for you before the Father." Jesus does not pray for the world, but he prays for us and he prays for the church, he explained. Egypt's Roman Catholic bishop has welcomed the election of Abdel Fattah el-Sisi as the country's new president, saying his leadership will benefit both Christians and Muslims. "His election gives all Egyptians, Muslims, and Christians cause for hope," said Bishop Adel Zaki, Vicar Apostolic of Alexandria. "His victory gives us Christian security and a perspective for the future. Better times are coming." Sisi, the former head of the Egyptian army, won more than 90% of the vote, with voter turnout at around 45%. The election comes after several years of political tensions. Sisi was head of Egypt's army in July 2013 when it deposed the Muslim Brotherhood-backed President Mohamed Morsi. Many Christians in Egypt voiced concern about their fate under the Muslim Brotherhood and the previous constitution. Bishop Zaki said that the new president does not distinguish between Christians and Muslims. Bishop Zaki said, "He's a religious person, but he sees religion as a private matter. His prime concern is his country. He demonstrated this when he saved Egypt from an impending civil war last year." The Archdiocese of Philadelphia and its affiliated entities filed a lawsuit on Monday challenging federal mandates that require employers to provide or to help provide contraceptive services through their health insurance. The federal rules force the entities to violate the religious convictions by either directly supplying or cooperating in the process to supply contraceptive services that gravely conflict with Catholic belief, said the Archdiocese. The court filing disputes the government's power to order Catholic entities to offer or cooperate in such services. The Archdiocese and its charitable agencies have filed suit against the Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of Labor, the Department of Treasury, and their secretaries. The lawsuit seeks to block enforcement of the 2010 Affordable Care Act's mandatory contraceptive coverage for employers. The lawsuit says the mandate violates the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. This has been an Archangel Radio News Break. I'm Patrick Alog.
Okay, I'm going to say that that was probably one of the best things that you would ever see on our Ustream.
If you didn't watch
and
that.
And it'll be on YouTube later on.
Was definitely worth seeing. I'm going to go back and watch that.
I think I will too.
Welcome back to the Live Hour here on Archangel Radio, WNGL 1410 AM. I'm Todd Sylvester. Patrick is at the Command Center. Station Manager David Renshaw is here with us. We have with us in studio, polka dancing Father Mateusz Rutzik, who is the parochial vicar at St. Dominic's.
Praise the Lord.
Sharing his story. Man, I just still think it's amazing that you came halfway across the world. I'm really grateful. I really am.
It's amazing for me, too, how God has his plan for us and how it's surprising can be. I never thought about, you know, doing such things, mm-hmm. like being a priest, going to USA. He prepared much more for me than I could ever imagine to do.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say that it's blessed. I'm not going to say that it's necessary, but working in youth ministry, to have a priest that has kind of this coolness factor to him, I'm serious. it's a draw. And for my children to see you so happy, so joyful, and you really do kind of step outside of the box when, because you don't normally say, oh, priest skydiver, priest kite surfer, priest bungee jumping polka dancer. I mean, you don't normally see those things, so it makes you do a double take. And for teenagers, sometimes that's all it takes, mm-hmm. is that little bit of spark for them to go, wait a minute, what? Because they'll say, well, I already know what that is. Kind of like when you're...
It's the old people complaining about the weather.
No, but what I'm saying is when you're at Sunday Mass and they start the gospel reading and you've heard it 100 times, mm-hmm. you kind of tune out.
Sure.
And that's unfortunate because God will always have something for us, you know, to say to us. But it's the same thing where they'll say, well, you know, I thought about the priesthood, but that's just not for me because I like to kite surf and bungee jump and skydive. So all of a sudden you come along and you crash their original picture of it. Mm. And that's where the invitation then is allowed again. I mean, God can then go, hey, I'm calling you. I'm calling you to this life, and it doesn't mean that you have to put away.
Right. The priesthood doesn't have a, you know, three bullet points. You must fit all these things,
right.
And if you don't, you're not a priest.
So that's what I'm grateful for. Yeah. And I mean, even in my own children's life, you've drawn them closer to Christ, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful to you for that, because you had to say a whole bunch of yeses. Mm-hmm. Before,
and of course, the spiritual director said the big yes.
Yeah, but before you came in contact with my own children, you had to say yes a whole bunch of times, and that's what I'm saying. Thank you for is that you said yes so many times, and then it eventually led to something that was really close and personal to me. So, all right. So you're going to be going to Poland in July.
Oh, I was going to ask him.
Deep question.
This is the deep question.
I don't know if it's a deep question, but. Can you, I don't even know how old you may have been when Pope John Paul II was during his pontificate, but can you talk a little bit maybe about what he and his influence had on the Catholicism of the country? I mean, obviously, you've got, you know, Divine Mercy, and you've got, that's obviously a big part of the country, but what did John Paul's pontificate mean to the country and the Catholicism in the country?
It means a lot, because he brought us together as a people, as a nation, as a Catholics. He gave us the strength and vision how to survive the communism and how to be united, mm-hmm. in love and solidarity against the enemy. And he kind of showed us that we do not be afraid of our faith, something that we can be proud of, that is part of our lives. So he is hero, now saint hero for us.
Sure.
And his teaching is so deep. It's like, yeah. We'll be reading his encyclicals for next 50 years and trying, you know, put it into life, mm-hmm. what he meant for us to do.
What was the faith like before? Was there a lot of, was the faith being lost prior to his pontificate? Was it just quieter because there was a question of persecution? What was the climate like at the time?
I would say that faith was kind of underground, mm-hmm. because of the persecutions, and he helped people to stand up publicly and go for public masses and simply surprise the government that people can show up with hundreds of thousands of people, leave their workplace and simply go for mass with him or with other important priests and bishops. Mm-hmm. So he gave us the strength and courage to be more, to practice this publicly, to show that we do not want to lose our faith, that you cannot take away faith from us.
Yeah.
That's why communists try to kill the church.
Do you know if there were any special celebrations during the canonization in Poland? I mean, obviously, you know, I'm assuming they were probably going crazy.
Yes, well, I think every church has a big celebration and special kind of retreat and gathering for people to review our faith and give us some kick, mm-hmm. on the way as we celebrate his canonization.
That's too cool.
Man, that's so beautiful. I'm seeing all these dots that had to be connected, and it is just amazing that it all came together. Mm-hmm. It really is. All right, so tell us more about the pilgrimage. From there, we were in Częstochowa.
Częstochowa.
Which you said is basically, that's the largest pilgrimage spot
yes.
in the whole country.
Yes.
And why do you think that is?
Because for last 4 or 5 centuries, it was the place where we were under occupation. It was like place where faith survived, and for many times it was the last place which didn't wasn't able to be occupied by enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sign of the spiritual strength, but also kind of military strength, mm-hmm. giving mm-hmm. hope that we won't give up, that even if we're in the troubles, we will resurrect, and that with Blessed Mother we can do everything.
Amen. And then from there, where do you go?
Well, Salt Mine Village, place where John Paul II was born, Wadowice, mm. and where he was baptized. We also renew our baptismal vows there at his church, at his baptismal font.
Oh, see, because he's someone that I copy now. I copy it. When he first went back to Poland, when he was the Holy Father,
right.
he went to that church, and he went straight to the baptismal font, and he kissed it. And now, ever since then, when I go to any baptismal font that I have a connection with, like mm-hmm. if my children were baptized there.
Mm-hmm.
I recently was up in Steubenville getting my daughter, and that's where Stefan was baptized,
mm-hmm.
at St. Peter's Church or parish downtown in Steubenville. And I went straight to the baptismal font,
mm.
and I kissed the font, and I started crying. You know, my poor son Joe, Dad, you okay? And I said, no, but I will be.
Yeah.
I'm not okay right now. I'm a little overwhelmed.
So I know, obviously, our listeners are too late in getting into the one that's coming up in July, but if they're interested in going on a pilgrimage to Poland in the future, what's the best way to get in contact with you or with Dan?
They can contact me or contact Dan Johnson on email or phone. And this year we take with us young adults, student college from Mobile area, 15 people. So we try mm-hmm. to be like a small group. So it's kind of family.
Yes, and then you're super mobile.
Yes.
And you can go anywhere.
You can go anywhere.
So a group that is so inviting. Because I remember going on the March for Life one time when we had 2 buses, and it was 100 people, 100 teens. And then at one point in time, Father Steve's like, oh, we'll take the metro. I said, with 100 people?
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
With 15, you just grab skateboards?
Yeah.
Or kite surfs?
Yeah.
And catch the wind.
Bungee yeah. jump down there?
Yeah.
That'll be great. It's very safe, Angel. It's very safe.
So, I guess you could foresee yourself doing these pilgrimages on a regular basis for as long as you're here and able to offer them. I mean,
yeah. I really enjoy it. No, now when we have Deacon Marching ordained for a priest, he can help us too. And
when you're there, do you get to see your family?
Yes, I stay after that for 2 more weeks.
Oh, nice.
Because I cannot simply leave Poland without being
Poland. You're saying there's not room for 15 more at your family's house? That we could, the rest of us can just stay?
We have
just
a big stop barn.
A big barn.
That'd be great. All right, well, we want to play an excerpt from your YouTube videos, which is, they've gone viral in comparison to ours.
Yeah.
And this one here, you are having a little talk with, who is that, Patrick?
His name is Emery Williams, a Cub Scout.
Yeah. All right, let's play a little excerpt from this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is the longest rope?
Which is the longest rope? I don't know.
Europe.
Oh, Europe. Okay. You are good. Let's continue.
What can you hold without touching?
What can you hold without touching? Hold without touching. I don't have any clue.
Your breath.
Wow.
That is great. Those are so cute. When did you start doing these videos?
What has teeth?
I think a few weeks ago, because this was like 7th episode and I do it once a week. One of our parishioners suggested it would be nice to see, you know, making meeting with some people in our parish to let others know what we do there and invite some people for interviews and meetings. And I think it's great that we can share this.
That's awesome.
And they're called A Moment with Mateusz, correct?
Yes.
A Moment with Mateusz.
That's just something to meditate on.
I know,
on.
It's so great. So question here in just the closing minutes of our show. was it what you expected? I mean, A, being a priest, and B, coming to the United States?
I didn't have any expectations what it would be looks like. I don't know. It's amazing for me that I'm thankful for the gift of vocation, that I can be a priest, that I can serve God and His people. I love it. It's difficult sometimes. It's true, but it's beautiful life. It's the joy to see how my prayers, how the sacraments, that really Christ works through me, how He does His ministry through us, and it's amazing. Yeah.
And eventually, you're still planning on getting your pilot's license.
Someday. Yes.
I remember hearing on the radio about a couple of days ago, it's a priest who dreamed about being a pilot, and then years later, he did get his pilot's license.
My only fear, is that if you get your pilot's license, that then you'll feel called to go to Alaska, because most of the priests in Alaska...
It's too cold there.
Okay, praise God. I'm glad that's the case, because...
Don't worry about the weather.
No. We want them to worry about that weather, because we don't want them to go anywhere, because they all have to fly to get to their to the parishes. I mean, isn't that wild?
You can take a sabbatical some year and learn to fly and then fly back.
That's crazy.
If this isn't God's plan, I will do it. If not, I'm enough happy now.
See, okay. That's the best attitude. You're putting me in my place, and that's good.
All you lucky parishioners of St. Dominic.
I know.
Yeah.
A little jealous, just a little.
I'm lucky to be there.
Yeah.
Awesome people.
What are you most excited about in going back to Poland in July?
Seeing my family, my brothers, parents, friends.
Where do you fit in the order of the family?
How many siblings do you have?
I have 3 younger brothers.
Okay.
So you're the oldest?
Yes.
Oh.
It's all boys.
So you get to go back there and pound on them.
No heavy bag needed. Got brothers. Got the brothers.
They have punching bags there too. We'll be working together, do some work.
So in the 2 weeks that you'll be spending with family, what sort of things will you be doing?
I would celebrate 2 weddings of my friends, with the presider.
Awesome. Oh.
Simply hang out with my parents and visiting my grandparents and seeing my parishioners, who really, I am the first vocation from my parish. So, I always want to be with them and simply celebrate Mass with my parish.
Yeah.
And show them that I'm very thankful for their prayers, their assistance in my vocation.
Man.
Oh, it's going to be a big old party.
That's beautiful.
In the town of Rudzik.
Well, I'm also, but I'm very grateful to them for letting you go.
Yeah.
I mean, first vocation and they let you go across the world to us.
Yeah.
So now I've got to pray for those 200 people in your village.
Tell all your family and friends that the Archdiocese of Mobile says thank you.
Says thank you so much.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Beautiful.
It's good stuff.
Yep.
Thanks for living the life and saying yes. We appreciate it.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for Father Mateusz Rudzik, the parochial vicar of St. Dominic's, here with us this morning. And thanks for listening to the Live Hour here on Archangel Radio WNGL 1410 AM.
God bless y'all.